Good morning and God bless you. Welcome to the gathering of Nations Harvest Church Assembly, our Sunday service, August the 18th, year of our Lord, 2024. I am excited and I hope that you are, being you here in person or streaming with us online. God's blessings have overshadowed us today, have overtaken us. We are blessed with not only life, but we are blessed with spiritual competency. We are blessed with a salvation that is complete, and we are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You ought to lift your hands today and tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you for another blessed day. I thank you, Lord, for blessing me again this day, having a knowledge that it is you that have made me, not me, myself. That this is a day that you have made and that I should rejoice and be glad in it. God, it is now that I want to give you thanks because no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. These are the things that I declare today, whereby I say that my salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. Because what God did for me when he gave his son, Jesus Christ, who in turn gave his life on Calvary, shed his blood, that he did it totally and completely, that it was a lock and key. It was over. I passed from death unto life. For that today, I say thank you. And I pray, God, that I'm not the only one today that say, Lord, I thank you from the depths of my heart and all that I am. I thank you in everything. God bless you today. Again, welcome to Sunday service. And I am just totally more than excited. I'm just ecstatic to be here. And I'm overjoyed being here. And I pray that you are as well. We're praying today for First Lady. She is not with me today. She's home. And not just terribly ill, but sometimes just the idea of just needing rest and needing a break. So we're praying for her. Also praying for Sister Taffany, who is home recovering from some sickness as well. And there are others. And if you have not called in to say that you need prayer, we want you to know that always we're praying for you. Good morning, Sister Tracy. Good to see you present here and in this worship experience. Amen. And I pray, God, that as you assemble with us, that you are prepared today to receive something from the Lord that is tailor-made, that is cut to perfection, a rhema word that is designed just for you. There is things that are general, and then there are the specifics. And I truly believe that when God give us the word, that there is a word that goes forth, that rests upon the ears of all, and that it is dispensed in a way that it serves all. And then I also know that there is the time that God will give a word that is specific for you. Now, I am a firm believer that when we have names that are not given to persons that are in the Bible that had encounters with Christ, and we get something that comes out such as a certain woman or no name, just certain, I believe that is a specific designation for that particular person. No one around them. It is not general, but it is given specifically for them, especially when God uses in the way of a pronoun, I would imagine, and I may stand corrected on that for English rules, but certain is a designation that gives that person the pronoun specifically to that person. So when I receive, I guess I'm understanding that there's a possibility that there's no volume. If someone could text me and let me know that you have no volume. If you do, I know that it's to just to one, but just someone. If you're tuning in, just give me a text. I'm monitoring here to let me know whether or not you have volume. But as we make ready for the Word of God, we're going to go to prayer, and then we're going to receive a word. I'm hoping that I'll get some notification that you do have audio, and that you have it at a useful volume. And I'm going to have words of prayer and wait for that text to come in. If I don't get a text, then I'm assuming that of the many listeners that we have, no one is hearing me, which means that I'll have to take a break and then come back. Amen. It's really low. All right, so we're going to see what we can do to correct that. We're going to come back and have a word of prayer, and then we'll move forward in our worship. Give us but a moment. Okay, I'm hoping now that I'll receive some response back that will let me know that you are with better volume now, prayerfully so. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll move forward in our morning message. Eternal God, I thank you so much for all that you've done to make this moment possible with we who are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are the receivers of a great and perfect salvation through Jesus Christ, by faith through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done to make this moment possible. Thank you for safe passage. Thank you for the portion of health that we have and wellness. And now, God, bless us in this hour by your Holy Spirit so that we are receiving of your word. And let your word continue to be that lamp unto our feet and light unto our pathway. Not the wisdom of this world, but God, the wisdom that is granted only by your Holy Spirit. Let us walk away here, from here, God, with something that will sustain us in the most difficult times. Circumstances and situations that arise, they will arise. But God, we will be prepared. We will be fortified by the word of God. Strengthen that we might endure even the worst of moments in wellness and in sickness. And God, we trust and believe you for not only hearing our prayer, but answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Okay, so perfect. Okay, I got a perfect. I didn't even get that in school, but I got a perfect saying that volume is good, Audio is good. Video is good. And if you all are here, can y'all see me? And you can hear me. Now, if that be the case where in person you can't hear or see me, then I'm going to need some help from on high. Amen. But and April, thank you for responding. We know that you're traveling today, taking the daughter back to school. Aaliyah's going on her way back to school. Amen. Give God a hand, praise. She's on her way to school. Amen. Thank God for that. I called Kennedy a couple of weeks ago during the Olympics as I watched the women in the 440s, and all of them were Kennedy. Every ebony woman out there was Kennedy. And I called her and asked her, was she watching? And she said, yes. And I reminded her, keep running until you run your way right into the Olympics. Amen. I don't know why. I do know why. I'm just saying that because it sounds good, but I do know why. I expect the most out of God. Because God intends and purpose to do the most for me. That's why I expect the most. I don't want to limit God with what I have come accustomed and comfortable to. Because it's easy to do that. It's easier to just take what you got than to accept the change that is required to receive what God has for you. It's easier just to stay right where you are. Because if someone come to you and they say, well, I'm going to take you out on a shopping spree, and I'm going to take you out and I'm going to feed you and whatever you ask for today, I'm going to give it to you. And you're in your house slippers, your nightgown, and your pajamas and all of that, and you comfortable. Someone come to you with that, and you can say, even though the offering is great, you can just say, I'll pass this time. Why? Because you don't feel like going through the changes that are necessary to be the recipient of the blessings that God have in store for you. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, stay ready. And expect the most. Stay ready and expect the most. Because that's what God intends to do. He can come at any moment. And you can just, if he come to you, he already know what you got on before you get there. Just ride with him. Amen. If you can go out to Walmart looking like you look sometime, you can go with God when he come to you. Now, I ain't calling no name. I'm talking about that time that you're just going to run in and come right out. When you run into everybody and you go start doing like this, child, I was just going to run in here, and don't you run into everybody? Yeah. That's the way it is. So if you can do that for you, your trip to Dollar General, Walmart, wherever you go in the marketplace, to the farmer's market, just running out, do the same for God. Be ready and expect the most, because that's what he intends to do for you. Last week, we opened well with instructions, lecture on dispensation and administration. One and the same. Administration and dispensation. It is a plan, in some sense, of procedure through some period of time. We went through most carefully Bible administrations and dispensations to better understand that. The very first one, how many of you remember, was what? The creation of man, where God does something in one specific time from what he had previously created, which is the dirt, forms a man from that dirt, which is in a creation from what God has already made. And once he makes that man, has he created again since? And the answer is no. There has only been the procreation, which means now life comes from the vessel of a woman. God has not scooped anyone else from the dirt. It was a single dispensation or administration where God created man. That is the very first dispensation or administration, and it is called what? The creation of man. The second administration or dispensation is what? The fall of man, where Adam is given a specific instruction from God to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I want y'all to say that to yourself so that you can get that right, because y'all, we say it a lot of different ways. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. God did not intend in his creation for man to have to know evil, only to know good. Only to know good. Evil existed, but it was not for man to know the evil, only to have his relationship with God. But in order for him to maintain that relationship in good standing with unlimited and full blessings, he had to obey God. It was man's choice, someone say choice, to disobey God. And as a result of him disobeying God, which was to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, man makes a come up. Now he knows evil as he knows good, but he did it to his own demise. He did it to his own destruction. So now you know evil, but you're also subjected to it. Make sense? What you thought you wanted and what you thought you needed and what you thought was going to advantage you actually set you back. It destroyed you. You felt as though this is something in life that I cannot live without. And it's easy to say, well, God, if you didn't really want me to have it, you would not have put it here. I put it there, but I put it there with instructions for you not to consume of it. There are a lot of things there, people, but it's not for you. That's why I say, watch some of these cliches. The grass ain't greener on the other side. Yes, it is. It's greener than your grass. What do I teach? It's not your grass. Just because the grass is greener, don't not call red red and blue blue. Call it what it is. It's greener, and it's greener than mine. Go ahead and practice that. Many people have more than I do, but it's not mine. Huh? Some people's children are better behaved than your children, but they are not your children. And don't despise what you have because what you see, someone else has it. If God intends it for you, it's coming. Okay? So don't deny it as this fruit that it says, if God didn't want me to have it, he wouldn't have put it there. He put it there. And he gave you instructions not to touch it. Second dispensation is the fall of man. By one man, Adam, we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. How many men? Are you the subject of anyone else's sin? The answer is emphatically no. Case at point, they brought the boy to Jesus that was born blind. Listen to the people. This is what we say. Who did sin, his mother or his father, that he is born blind? They've already concluded somebody caused this to happen. They didn't ask the question, is it because of what his mother did? Is it because? No, we've been the judge and the jury. Somebody sinned. What was Jesus' response? Neither. But that the power of God may be made manifest in his blindness. Nobody sinned. When you have birth defect, when you have illegitimacy, when you have whatever social disorder there is, and you're subject to it, don't think that it occurred to you because of something that you did wrong or your forefathers did wrong. If I have children and they are challenged, in whatever manner they are challenged, God is not a man that he's going to try to get back at me because of what I did through my children. Come on, believers of God, you come up out of that rut. That's the kind of stuff they teach you where they want to keep you in bondage. We got to get you out of this. We got to get you out of it. Well, what if God want me to just stay in this right now, for now? Somebody say, not forever, but for. Absolutely. It's still going to pass. Don't let anybody sell you those faded hopes and empty dreams that didn't work for them. And now they're going to sell them to you. They're going to pawn them off to you. Huh? I feel like teaching this morning. Jesus Christ came and told them that your brother Lazarus is asleep. No, he dead. Mary and Martha went on to tell him that Jesus says he's going to live again. Now listen at Mary and Martha trying to be prophetic. Oh, we know he's going to live again in the resurrection. They being prophetic. Jesus turned to them and said, it ain't going to happen later. It's going to happen when? Today. I am the resurrection. Now I'm teaching you, don't let some prophet come and tell you something going to happen later. When Jesus speaks to you and tell you it's about to happen now. All right? So we have the second dispensation, which is the fall of man in one man, Adam. My sins can't curse you. My sins cannot condemn or damn you. By one man, Adam, we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. All right? That is the second dispensation. Everyone who is born of Adam will be subjected to the law of sin. And what is that? Death. The wages of sin is. And everyone who is born of Adam will die. And sin. Sin, born in sin, he will die. Everyone. No exclusion. All right? Second dispensation. The third dispensation is the dispensation of law given by Moses. This is a dispensation where now God says, my administration or dispensation will be governed by a set of ordinances, numbered ordinances, rules. Laws, commandments, and you will obey them as Adam was to obey God in the garden. All right? We got a different dynamic here now. Man feel like, but I'm already messed up. I'm born in sin. I'm shaped in iniquity. So, keeping the rules, you know. Now, God goes down And men, there are men who believe God that will obey what he has set in a commandment. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. They're going to go down through and they're going to obey these rules, ordinances, commandments that are set in this dispensation. Are you with me? Which dispensation are we in? The third one. What is the next dispensation? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Christ is the next dispensation. The birth of our Savior. The wages of sin was formerly death. The next dispensation, the gift of God is what? The what of God? The what of God? The gift of God. Unmerited, unearned. Gift is eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. All right? The dispensation of Christ. Salvation being given in the Son of God. The fourth dispensation. From creation to fall to law to grace. Christ. I'm sorry. Grace is next. Christ. The giving of the Savior. The next fifth is grace. Christ's birth, the Son of God. Fifth is grace. Everyone say grace. Now I need you to say this with me. I am in the dispensation of grace. What administration are we under right now? Grace. Unmerited favor. How did you get it? Through Jesus Christ, through my faith in Jesus Christ. How do I receive it? My faith in Jesus Christ. God gave his son gave his life that I might have eternal life. I am currently in that dispensation. My current, right now, God is operating his plan, his procedure. Is governed by the rules of grace. Are y'all with me? Is this hard? Now, what you have to come to know is the fullness of his grace. Not just in part, but you got to know the fullness of his grace. I don't know how I do this. How do I make this presentation? What analogy can I use? Y'all got a lot of luxuries in your home, don't you? You do. A lot of conveniences. Things we didn't used to have. We didn't have microwaves. How many came up on the hot water heater I came up on? Water on the stove. That's your hot water heater? Right? No instant. You got hot water how? You boiled it. Now what do we do? It's a different dispensation, isn't it? Right? We have a lot of luxuries in our home. Here's my question about those luxuries and conveniences. Do you use them all of the time? Is there a possibility that you have some conveniences and luxuries in your home that you don't know anything about? Be careful, because I'm going to challenge you on this one. Because you bought that new TV because you like the way it looked. Do you know how it worked? No. You know how to make it automatically go off at a certain time? Do you know how to make it automatically come on at a certain time? Do you know how to make it when you got too much light in the room that it will automatically adjust to the light that is in the room so that you get the best picture? You didn't know we do all of that? Well, why do you think you bought a smart TV? It is now officially smarter than you. You bought something. Now, can I use that analogy to say that in the dispensation of grace, there are luxuries and there are conveniences that we have that have been given to us that we cannot access because we don't even know that they exist. Will y'all accept that? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, here is what we do. Now, I don't need it to do all of that. I just need it to do what I want it to do. Well, then what did you buy it for? You should have got the lower model. No, you wanted the best one that do everything that you're not going to. Well, God only has one model, people, and that's the best. Clap your hands. He has one, and it's the very best. It does everything. It does it all. Jesus Christ is all, of all, in all. All right? We are in our dispensation, must learn to not choose to be ignorant. All right? Don't make ignorance a choice. All right? So, today, in this teaching, as with last week, we are attempting to access, through the word of knowledge, that is only given by the Holy Spirit, because the things now, in the fullness of grace, are not just available to everyone. I got to walk carefully right here. The fullness of his grace. There are some that have faith that is required to save them. There are others that have faith that can move mountains. We all accept that. Some have faith, and it's enough to have them saved. Others have faith that they utterly move mountains. By faith, you can say, "Be thou removed." Jesus taught us the power of faith. Some choose not to access those measures of faith that is available. Let me give you what it says in the scripture. Lord, why couldn't we cast out these demons? Why couldn't we do these healings? We got faith. This type comes by much. Some say much. Prayer and fasting. We know that there are measures of faith because Jesus says it when he says, "O thou of little faith." If there's a little faith, then there has to be a big faith, much faith. All right? The same here applies when it comes to, as the measure of faith, grace is given in abundance or full measures of grace, where access is given based on the Spirit of God revealing to us what God wants us to know. Settle in your mind, Sister Tucker, it is available. Even Abraham had to get in touch with this measure when God gave him a promise, but the only way he was going to be the recipient of that promise is that he had to trust God at 99 years old. I'm 65, and trust me, there are things that you got to trust God for. Say amen. You are a woman, and I wouldn't know, but I can guarantee you there are some things that you have to really, really trust God for. Huh? When you are young, you trust God as a youth. When you become old, you cannot use that same measure when you become old. When I'm younger and I hurt, you know what I do? I keep going. I'm older and I can do everything but keep going. Oh, y'all ain't got to be that way because y'all moving good. Me? I'm like, Lord, come on up in here with something that I ain't ever known before. Just last week, all night long, I don't even know why I laid there because the pain was so excruciating in my back. There wasn't no sleep coming. But somewhere between turning over, I know I had to be sleeping. And whatever sleep I got that night was because I say, Lord, you're going to have to come on up in here with some supernatural sleep tonight. Because I ain't getting that regular sleep like lay down. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That ain't coming tonight. I can't pray that prayer tonight. I need that Lord my back hurting and I can't go to sleep kind of movement in my life. Y'all don't have that. And I never had it like that before. Now, I do remember that time I cut that tree when they had to come and get me. You know, because I get crazy sometimes. And I was cut that tree and they had to come pick me up. I lay in the hospital 4 days. He said, you should have went ahead and broke your back. I was holding it over my head because I was young and dumb. And he said, I did so much muscle damage. That was a long time ago when that wind came through Moulton Heights and blew that big tree down in the back. Big old tree. The one we sat under. And I had to chop it because I thought the kids was going to get hurt on it. I did hurt like that, but I don't remember it hurting like that because I was young. I ain't chopped nobody's tree last week. And I don't know where that pain come from, north, south, east, or west, but I needed the Lord to come on up in here with a whole different measure. Do something tonight that I ain't ever heard of before. Oh, if y'all ain't had it, just wait a while. I promise you. He gonna make your prayer be 2 seconds long. Lord, help me. You ain't got on no knees. You ain't putting no hands together. You ain't said, now, Lord, you ain't did none of that. You went right to the point. Because you needed a different measure based on your age. Dispensation, administration, fullness of his grace. Get your Bibles. For those that are taking notes, God administered the people of the earth differently at different times. He administered to people of the earth differently. Not different people. He administered differently at different times. What God did, he did it differently. When he does something different and it changes the rules, it now becomes an administration. Last week, y'all remember everything we said. Obama administration, Trump administration, Biden administration, 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 administration. Each one is different. An administration is when God does something different. At different times. So now we have to accept this in my teaching today that God changes the rules. Does God change? But he changes the rules. You don't have to accept that yet. You have to take the whole teaching. You don't have to accept it, but you can write it. God will change the rules. And he changes them from administration to administration. When he says something in an administration, it will come to pass. But when he changes the administration, what was in the former administration doesn't apply in this administration. You got to get that clear. If you fail to get this, you're going to fail to have the fullness of his grace. He changes the rules in when he changes an administration. Genesis 20, verse 12. Which administration is this? Law. Mosaic law. What does it say in Genesis 20 and verse 12?
And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife.
So that means that he married his what?
Sister.
Under the which administration?
Law.
Not only could he marry a relative, but he could have more than one. Absolutely. Go to Leviticus 18. I asked you earlier, don't take my word for it. You get it from the word yourself. Leviticus 18. You got it? What does verse number 9 say? All right. What was the rule before? You could marry her. You could consummate with her and have children. Now, not only can you not marry her, he forbids you to even look at her. Now, look up at me. Did he change the rule or not?
Sounds like he did.
Sounds like he did, doesn't it? Okay. Can someone go to Exodus, Genesis 20 and 12, and say, God said I can marry my sister? Can someone go to Genesis 20 and 12, which is before the Mosaic law, before the administration of law? Can someone go back to Genesis 20 and 12 and say, I can marry my sister because God said that I could in Genesis 20 and 12. That was in a former administration. Right? So I can't go back, though it is written, I can't go back and hold God to an edit that he has changed. You still in Leviticus? Go down to verse number 20. No, when you're reading from Leviticus, stay in Leviticus. Go, stay in Leviticus. Go to 18. You were already in 18, you read 9. Now read verse 20.
Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her.
All right. Now, here it's not only a relative, but it's a close relative. Translations are going to show you that it's not only a blood sister, but a close relative. He disallowed the marriage of not only your sister, but a close relative. All right? Formerly, man could have more than one wife. In the administration of grace, 1 Corinthians, Chapter 7. Verse number 2. How many wives can you have? No more polygamy. That's done. Formally, how many concubines did David have? How many concubines did Solomon have? Many. Hundreds. Thousands. Abraham had concubines. Leah. Ishmael is born to Leah. Isaac is born to Sarah. Wives. And grace is the first place that I found it. I couldn't find it earlier. That under the dispensation of grace, how many wives?
One.
Now, do we have in our current times those who choose to go back where he permits them to have more than one wife? And they have religions that are called that. And I'm not going to name them. If you know what it is, you know what it is. Not that I'm trying to save it, but I'm not just trying to point any fingers this morning. But there are those who still teach something that is outside of this administration. Let me leave you with a point right here. Obeying a command in the Bible that is not written for you is the same as disobeying God. There were no speed signs in Moulton Heights. As fast as those gravels would let you go that. You could not stop me for speeding in Moulton Heights on those gravel roads. There were no speed limits. I can't go down through there today when there's posted speed limits and say, man, I was born and raised here. You know, we don't have speed limits out here. I don't know. Maybe we're thinking that we get grandfathered in on some stuff. I don't know. I can do this because I'm grandfathered in. I don't know. So what if believers or people of faith took more than one wife today and they feel like it's okay to do what's quoted in Exodus 21 and 10 where he gives you the permission to marry more than one wife? I go back to Exodus and try to pull out that this is where God said I can do this. I'm disobeying what God has given in my dispensation. In the day, I have eczema and psoriasis. Do you know what I would be considered in the New Testament? You can call it a leper. And I am unclean. I would have to put a cover over my head. I could not brush my hair. When I see people coming, I would have to go to the other side of the street, because in Leviticus 13 and 45, when you had psoriasis or eczema, you were considered unclean, flaking of the skin. Unclean. Y'all remember the story of the 10 lepers? God came back and one says, thank you. All right? There are infirmities that we have today in our dispensation that in the former dispensation, let me make this clear, that's why I say the dispensation of Christ and the dispensation of grace, because even when Jesus get there and grace is not here yet, dispensation-wise, he came into people like the woman who had the infirmity, or him coming in contact with the woman that's at the well. Ceremonially, Jesus is now unclean because the woman who touched him with the issue of blood, they weren't supposed to touch him at all. But Jesus goes beyond the law. He doesn't break it. Get this clear now. Y'all got to get this little part. But by him permitting the woman to touch him, or being with the woman at the well at Samaria, he lets us know that grace exceeds the rules. Somebody say, how do you get that, preacher? Ask me. In Christ Jesus, who is the abolishment of the law, but come to fulfill the law. The law said you can't do it. Grace and truth says, I have to do it. Listen to me carefully while I rightly divide the word of truth. Jesus says, I come to work the works of him that sent me. Right? So when the law said you can't, because of my assignment, I have no other choice but to do so. The sermon that I preach is when grace exceeds the rules. The grace of God, y'all get this clearly, and if you got a question, you need to ask me. When Jesus Christ doesn't take the east or the west route around Samaria and go through Samaria, he is legally, ceremoniously unclean because he is a Jew and he cannot go in the way of the Samaritans. And he taught his disciples, don't go in the way of the Samaritans. But yet he goes. The fulfillment that he come to set in the law, he does it because grace exceeds. Whew. My God. I didn't come to abolish it. I didn't come to do away with it. But I come to show you that in me, this is why this is a complete and full administration, because Christ has to set an example in his humanness, in his natural body. He has to become sin for me. So if he had not become sin for me, when he ran into the lepers that had psoriasis and eczema, and he came in contact with them, if he had not have did that prior to the coming of grace, I would still be considered unclean. But he became what for me? Thank you, people. Oh, God, thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't have this, so sometimes the Holy Spirit got to kick in. He had to become sin for me. So in order for him to do away with me being unclean, he had to come in contact with that uncleanliness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Y'all ain't excited. I am, but that's all right. I get excited by myself about the truth. He had to become sin for me. Is that right or is that the truth? And right. We say it, but we don't know how much he did it for us. He had to become sin for me, yet he sinned not. Like that, Carolyn? But he became it for me. Now, folk get mad at that. Because, see, they don't be down for you like four flat tires. They just be down for you for what they can get out of you. Yeah. But Jesus was down for me all the way to the end. We ride together, we die together. Bad boys for life. He was down for me. That he became sin for me. Now, I don't know about some of that other stuff, but I can preach on this psoriasis because now I'm feeling this. And I didn't get it until the Holy Spirit kicked in right here. I knew about the woman at the well, but I ain't ever had no hemorrhaging. You see what I'm saying? And imagine y'all, women who, when they go through their period of time, you couldn't even come into church today. Come on, y'all. You'd have to stay away. You couldn't come close to the preachers. You couldn't do this. He became sin for us so that we could come to the throne of grace boldly and say, Lord, here I am in the name of who? Jesus. And he'd have did it if it was just you. I like that. If he didn't have to do it for millions and billions, he would have did it for what? That's why he said, when you do to the least of these, you've done it for me. What man having 100 sheep won't leave the 99 and go and see about just the one? Nobody but Christ. Some people can't get it till they got a crowd. Amen. They can't help you till somebody watching. And if they ain't got nobody watching you, they gonna go tell somebody they did it. Now I'm gonna do this for you, but don't you tell nobody, because I'm gonna tell everybody. And then when it comes to what Jesus did for me, I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody. But here I am now telling everybody about somebody. I hate to be cliche here, but it sounded good. About a man that can save. Yes. In this administration. All right. Now, where's my next point? Psoriasis. God have a specific reason for using the name mystery. Say that with me, mystery. He has a specific reason for using the name sacred secret, which we know as mystery, but it does not translate. The Bible uses the word mystery, and to us, mystery simply means that no one knows it. However, the word did not translate. Y'all get this in my close. Mystery, because mystery would mean unknown. Secret means what? Some know it, not everybody. Sacred, secret. All right? God has a specific reason in the dispensation of grace for now what is called, we go into the book of Ephesians, everybody, in our close, for using the word sacred, secret, or mysterion. The administration of grace, y'all hear this, is given to us in a manner and to an extent that it was not given to people in previous administrations. Rephrase it. God is doing the most for us. The most meaning this is the last, and it is more than anyone has ever received in any former dispensation. Can I help you all? If Jesus offered to come in here today and raise one of your past loved ones from the dead, and you know he can do it, stay with me as I ask this question. You know he can. Why? Because he's done it. Right? And you say, God, you are not God if you don't get my loved one up, because I know that you can. Will he do it? Why won't he do it? One, because he don't have to prove himself, and two, is because I've already done it in a former administration. But if I gave you more in this one than I did in that, you can look at him and say you don't have to. It's because they are not dead anyway. What do you mean raise them from the dead? If you believe in the fullness of grace, they that believe upon me, they shall never die, but they shall pass from death, from death to life. I say now, O grave, O death, where is thy sting? And oh, grave, see, y'all saying this, but you got to believe this with your whole heart. Where is your victory? How can you raise my mother from the dead when my mother ain't dead? God, come in here today. You got this cup of coffee. You say, all right, now, God, if you God, the only way I'm going to know that you God and believe that you God and keep believing that you God is that you won't have to turn this coffee into some wine. He don't have to. Why? He's already did. What? And if it's wine you need, watch this. Be careful now. If it's wine that you need, when you drink it, though it is what? Coffee, what is it going to be when you consume it? Oh, y'all ain't listening to Paul. Paul say, I learned no matter what state I'm in, therewith to be content. When I would be hungry, I'm what? Already full. Shucks, y'all. He don't have, be not conformed to this world. Be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't need you to have to come down here to do away with all of my enemies, come and change my circumstance for me to believe that you are God. You already did it. When the storm raged and the sea was tossed, you stood out on the storm. And when you said, peace be still, you were not talking to the storm. You were talking to them. Let them find comfort, but let the storm go, because the storm is serving its purpose. Stop asking God to change your circumstance and ask him to change you. Change me. Let me see through your eyes, because I got what nobody else had. Moses and them couldn't do this. I don't need no stick, glory, to throw down and be turned into a serpent. Huh? One put 1,000 in flight, two put 10,000 in flight. It's folks that bless you right now that can't stand you. And they don't realize what they're doing to move you forward. They run into you like they don't even know you or don't remember you. Because they think you done forgot what they did to you. Oh, yeah. Come on in here, the fullness of grace. I'll make your enemies. And not that I want to step on anybody. Because I ain't looking down to what's holding me up. Huh? But God is making all of those that wanted to stop you, those that wanted to hamper your growth, God is using them right now. Virginia, you don't realize that in your success of whatever you do, it's some of the same people that just cursed you with everything that they have, and you're stepping on that, but God is moving so mighty in your life that you ain't looking at how he did it, because you don't need the how. I just know the God that's doing it. Come on, you all. This dispensation. And I'm not going to hold God now to where he got to come down here and raise people from the dead, turn water into wine, touch eyes so the blind can see and the deaf can hear and all of that and all of that and go through those motions is because that was for that dispensation. That's why when we come in here now and we need to know that the Spirit of God is present, and I got to put my hands on you and put some oil on your head. And if you don't go down, I got to push you down because you got to make me look good up here. I don't need all of that to know that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Come on, y'all. You ain't got to dance? Now, let me tell y'all what's happening to the dance. The dance has transformed. The dance has shifted. The dance has shifted now. You ain't dancing if you ain't got on some club clothes. Because you need to see the dancer. It ain't the dance. You got to be, it's shifted. Things have changed. Huh? But there was a time when we needed all of this. We needed to go out in the spirit. We needed to levitate. We needed to gravitate. We needed to do this and we need to do all of that. People, this is the fullness of his grace. You in Ephesians? Go to chapter 2. Catch verse 9. Ephesians 2. This is the last one today. What time is it, somebody? 12:11. Right on point.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Is this Ephesians 2? And verse number 9? All right, go ahead.
For we are his workmanship.
We are his workmanship. Go ahead.
Created in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Two good works.
Uh-huh.
Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
All right, keep going.
Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh.
All right, now. Look up at me and then I'm going to let you read some more. He is talking to two different people. Derek, come here. Cash, come here. Come on, y'all represent quickly. All right? You are the Jews and you are the Gentiles. You are the commonwealth. You represent the Jews. You're the commonwealth. You got a right to everything from God because you're a Jew. You ain't got nothing coming because you're a Gentile and you ain't a Jew. All right? And he got everything. All right? And Jesus Christ, you are the one that represent Jesus touching the woman that had the issue of blood, the woman that was the Samaritan woman. And you sitting over here, you know everything, and you looking all good and everything. You could care less about him because he's a Gentile. Y'all got that. Mm-hmm. Now, this is who Paul is talking to. He is talking to a Cash and a Derek. Read.
Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, mm-hmm. who are called uncircumcision,
mm-hmm.
that which is called the circumcision
mm-hmm.
in the flesh made by hands.
All right. So he circumcised, you ain't. Which means that he clean, you dirty. All right, go ahead.
That at the time you were without Christ,
mm-hmm.
aliens from commonwealth.
You are now an alien, you uncircumcised alien. I'm using his words. All right?
And strangers from the covenants.
You are a stranger. You are uncircumcised alien that is a stranger. Read.
Having no hope without God.
You have no hope. You have no hope because you ain't got no God. Read. You looking at him. You see him over here. You feeling good about yourself. Go ahead.
But now in Christ Jesus.
Hold on, you might want to get behind me because you probably don't want to see what's about to happen right here. Go ahead. But now in Christ Jesus, because you know people don't want to see, they don't want to see this. They do not want to see what God is about to do. But you tell them to get a good look. Come on right here so you can see good. Because what's about to happen, you ain't going to like it. You know y'all just, y'all, you make it, you know this, right? You know this, Dr. Derek. But I'll tell you something. Don't tell him this later. He was a Jewish Gentile. Because you ain't going to like what I'm about to say. But now, not because of Clinton, Trump, Biden, Obama, not because of any of their administrations, not because of alternative action, not because of D-SNAP, G-SNAP, Medicare, Medicom, Medicaid, not because of any of those incentives, not because of the economy, not because of inflation, not because of wars and rumors of wars, not because of Martin Luther the King, not because of none of that, you alien, Gentile, unclean, I can't remember the other names that you have been called, but now,
who were afar are made nigh by the blood.
You were once way off, but I'm so glad I'm in the middle because I represent Christ today. And you were put at such a distance by them. But now you are no longer far because I am closer to you. Ooh, I'm loving this. No, you can't come close. You stay where you were. I am closer to you than I am to them. It's because they approach me with their legalities. But you have come to me with your whole heart. Huh? Read.
For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall.
All of that that was come between you all, because what they didn't realize is that we were all Jews anyway. They just made themselves better. I don't know if it's because of the tint that's in their skin and the melanin they have, they don't have. I don't know if it's because of what part of the country they from. But for some reason, they just put a wall between us. But I'm destroying that. Reed?
Pour down the metal wall.
I put the wall wrong. I put the wall in the wrong place. Hear me. I was seeing that. They put a wall between you and God. Mm-hmm. Not you and them, but between you and God. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that were sending you to hell. They do it as often as they could. Y'all was all going to hell. You didn't have a savior. You didn't have a God. You were just destined to be doomed. They built the wall. Read.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity.
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 That's enmity. Our enemy. Just say enemy.
Enemy. Even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance.
Now, well, you got to read that slow because see, you reading something that we had a discussion a couple of weeks, and then you're reading something that's going to help right here now. Now, y'all, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to do that. You represent everybody that anybody in here thinking going to go to hell or already got to hell. That's what you represent. I'm talking about these folks in here now. I'm talking about whoever can hear me. You represent all of them that they even say they're going to go to hell anyway. You represent all of them. All right, now you go back and read two verses back and come back at me again.
Having abolished in his flesh.
I did away with it. In my flesh. So that means that he became, say it y'all, sin for him. I abolished it in my what? Flesh. I had to become flesh for you. Because you couldn't do it for yourself. Read.
Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances.
Even the law that is contained in former administrations.
Couldn't do it.
It couldn't do it. Read. All right, so no longer is there a divide, but I, Christ, am doing away. Come over here now, Cash, you get to come on in. With the Jew and the Gentile, and now I ain't becoming that for just this group and that group. I've become that for all. So you can't feel like you better, and you can't feel like you're less because I have made this that we are one. Read. Reconcile, which simply means now there's the reconciliation, bring together, consolidate, read.
Both unto God in one body.
One body.
By the cross.
By the cross. Read.
Having slain
the enemy.
Thereby.
I've slain the enemy at the cross. How did I defeat the enemy? At the cross. Yeah. Look up at me. Were the Jews the enemy?
Yeah.
No. What I've done is I've come and I've set the odds from what Adam said to Eve. The discourse between them, that woman you gave me. They felt that they were making them less to God. I've done away with that kind of thinking. Stop thinking that you are better than people because of what they have. Stop thinking that you're better than people because of the color of your skin. Stop thinking that you're less than people. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all look at me, you too. You are not a minority. Do you hear me? I don't care what kind of paper you got to fill out, what form you say. If you see the word minority, skip right over it because you say I am a majority in Christ. All right? Because I don't believe you're not a minority by the color of your skin either. It's just too many black folks. But anyway, regardless, you're not a minority. Don't let that oppress you. Don't let it oppress you because you are a black male. You got to watch what the devil is doing. Because you're going to feel like, oh, I can't get one because I'm a black male. Now you're going to start singing that song, wrong tune. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can have an education. I can be a doctor. I can be an engineer. I can own my own business. I can have my home. You don't need no initiative. You got God. Read.
And came and preached peace to you which were afar off.
All right. Now, I came and showed you something that had never been said before. I gotta rush to a close. Now, Don is preaching today something that I haven't been able to preach because tradition won't let me do this. I'm under too many guidelines. The deacon's gonna have a fit because you didn't preach today, so we ain't gonna pay you today. We Bible study this Sunday. People come here to get a sermon. So I couldn't do this. So, all right? And the choir didn't sing today. Now the choir mad. Musicians finna quit. Well, you gonna pay me the same thing because I don't care because you didn't play. And we got all of that. All of that. I need the word of God to come through. So I'm coming with the peace. Read.
And to them that were not
okay.
For through him we both have access by one spirit.
We have access. Did y'all just hear it?
Access.
We have what?
Access.
You ought to ask yourself to what? Go ahead.
By one spirit unto the Father.
Uh-huh.
Now,
let me tell you what the access is. Carolyn, what he wants to show us and wants to reveal to us, we have access, but what you're learning today is how to access through the mysterion, through the Spirit of Christ, you can access and you can know what the newspaper ain't wrote yet. The thief cometh but to do what? You can't have no thief. Because if you know they're there, they are not a thief. Thief have to catch you in your unknowledge. You didn't know what happened. He can't come by a thief. Can't come as a robber by night. Because you know. Read. God. Come on, Gene.
Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners.
No more stranger, no more foreigner. I just told you, you're not a what? Minority. You're not. You're a young black male, but that don't mean that you gotta feel defeated, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Right. I don't care what. Okay? Your locks, everything makes you beautiful because that's what God made you. All right? So from this day forward, you have a right to everything that God gives you access to. Who can stop it? Mm-hmm. Nobody can stop it. See, yeah, nobody can stop that, right? And who? Because who told you so? Thank you. I'm glad you didn't say me. Woo, I thought he was going to say me. I was ready to correct him, Carol. He said, because God. Huh? Come on. It ain't going to take him as long as it took some of us. Come on. Agree.
Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
All right. All right, now, you're getting this based on this administration and that God have set these administrators, these people, and they need to move in the assignment that they've been given and stop trying to be something else and be what God assigned them to be to his people to get this word. You see what I'm saying, Andy? Now, I miss the praise team. I miss all of that. But I'm telling y'all, that administration, boy, the spiritual harmonies and I miss all that too. I miss that. I miss stomping the feet. I miss the mighty clouds of joy, glory. Ain't no clouds of joy now, man. Mighty clouds of joy, they come up and they're going to be so loud we ain't going to be able to stay in here. But I ain't knocking it. But I'm just saying, okay, y'all, don't lose your relationship with God because we ain't got that no more. At least you ain't sitting on no wood seat. So, come on. Us Nation's Harvest don't have no members. We got what? Birthrights. Because it ain't but one body. So we ain't going to have no Nation Harvest Church with a whole bunch of other members. The whole thing that is saying you got a right. You got an inheritance. You in here not because you can come in here and somebody can take your job or you took somebody else's seat. Boy, don't let me start talking about that seat with Josh a couple weeks ago. Sitting in my seat. Okay, go ahead.
Growth unto in holy temple in the Lord.
Holy temple, yes.
Yes.
go to 3-1. Now, I had to do that because he starts this off. I couldn't have closed it without two. For this cause, all of this stuff that we just said, I, Paul, so I'm putting myself, I'm trying to find my place here, okay, you all? Don getting in his lane, okay? He all right, he ain't seen it. He all right. For this cause, I'm getting in my lane now. What happens?
The prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For you Gentiles.
All right. Prisoner for anybody in the Gentiles now is us who have not known this before. Mm-hmm. Me too. Mm-hmm. Janet, you've been with me. Tracy, you've been with me. Gloria, you've been with me. I've been a prisoner, in a sense, by my tradition that wouldn't let me. Ooh, we had good Bible study, didn't we? And y'all used to like to do the things we did in the Bible study. We had good Bible study. Most night was good, right? But we were kind of like a prisoner. Because they didn't really care whether things got better in my home, as long as I got a good sermon on Sunday, and that was supposed to work. I can't knock that. But God wants us to have the fullness of his grace. You see what I'm saying? The day that we met at Clarence's funeral, did I get it right? That day we met? Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Clarence's spirit, and I shook your hand on the front row, sitting next to Joanne. You said, I'm coming to your church. You ain't have plans to stay. You ain't have plans to be here how many years later?
I don't know.
5 years later. Look at you now. Huh? God set you down. Work in progress. We bought cash on up from here all the way up to here. Derek all the way up to here. We've been through our things. Come on, read. Pulling us together as family, making us stronger. Uh-huh. Now, I need to ask y'all, have y'all heard of the dispensation of grace? Mm-hmm. When did y'all hear it? Thank you. You heard it today. There is such a dispensation, and what is it called?
Grace.
Paul can preach it because Jesus has risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit has come back. That's why Paul is a preacher, because he was a murderer. Who can preach it better than one who was once on the outside? But y'all want a preacher that has a big old long education with a lot of numbers. Nothing wrong with that, but don't you want them to have some communication with God? Read.
Given to me
for you. That's how that's translated. It's given to me for you. I'm almost finished, y'all. How did I find out about it?
Through the revelation.
The Spirit of God reveals. Huh? So when you hear me stand firm on something, that's revelation. Case at point. Where that big blue tablet that I use to have up there? On the counter at home. I left my notes. Cassie, you didn't even look to see that I left my notes at home. She in the camera. She listening. Because if you had seen it on the counter, you would have ran it down here. But when I looked back in the truck, I said, when I cut the watermelon to put it in the refrigerator for the kids later today, I left my tablet on there. I already told you when I woke up, I had a dream last night that when I picked my tablet up, it only had 7% left. And that tablet don't work long on 50%. So I did worse than having a little percent. I had no percent because I left it at home. But because of the revelation of Christ, y'all don't see that. Because it ain't on the paper. Because, Tracy, it ain't in the manuscript. It ain't in the notes. It's in the Spirit of Christ that is in me. But, you know, I always did have them notes, and you always said, I don't even know what you have them up there for anyway, Rev. Hurt, because you don't ever really look at them. You're right. But you know how we love that security down there. You want to look in case you forget. But now the Lord won't be resting solely upon him. You'll continue reading that. And then now you will better understand. I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but you didn't hear it, but you still heard it. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither been revealed in the hearts of men, the glory that shall be revealed in you. But it's no longer a mystery. It's just that it's been known as the sacred secret. God bless you all. Come to your feet. We'll work some more later. Anybody with any questions? Anybody with any questions? Y'all access this. Get in it. God is going to speak to you just like that last thing that I told you about that note tablet. Watch God in sometime the most things. You've heard me say this in a whole lot of sermons, in the ordinariness of life. Stop looking for the big spectacular stuff, because see, they're going to try to sell you some more dispensations. Watch this now. Like the devil going to be loosed. Listen to me. There ain't no time coming where the devil going to be loosed. That's of the devil. Carolyn, if you can convince me that you ain't already loose right now, that means that you in full operation. You just don't want me to know what you're doing. Somebody say this with me. The devil doing as much as he can do. He ain't got no time when he going to be loose. It ain't no time when he going to come and he going to do this and he going to do that. He doing all that he can right now. They're going to tell you about another ring and all of this. And I don't get into that, because y'all talking about numbers and signs and all of that. Book of Revelations ain't the future. Book of Revelations is the past. It's like looking in the mirror. It's you dealing with who you really are. All it is. They're going to try to sell you like something else is coming so that you don't expect the power of God right now. You got that, Regina? We got to move this right now, because my grandkids, and probably neither yours, I don't know that they're going to have no pulpit and no sanctuary and no stuff like that. I don't know. I don't see that coming, y'all. I ain't doubt it. But I'm just trying to say, I don't know. But just in case, you make sure they got a relationship with God. See what I'm saying? Now, if they don't ever make it to the church house, they good. Because I got some kids. They came with me. They went with me on revivals. They said right there, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to see them too much. Do they love God? Yes. Do they fear him? Are they sitting in here? It helps, but it ain't gonna stop them from having that relationship with God. Tell them, bring them, train them up. But when they don't show up, don't think that their soul's lost. You gotta trust the process with your kids. Trust it, all right? Anybody with any questions? Anybody? All right, then. I love y'all. Derek, thank you. Cash, thank you. Y'all work good. I love you all. See you. Be blessed in the spirit of Christ.